Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me here on another week where we're going to dive into God's Word to see what is God saying and what are we doing about it? How does God want to renew us? How does He want to form us? How does He want to shape us? How does He want to pour His love out on us this week through the revelation of the person of Jesus in the scriptures? And I'm really excited about the passages that we're going to take up today. We're going to be back in the book of Ephesians, St. Paul's writings to the Ephesians. You know, we were in Peter, we were in 1 John, and then we were in the Gospels before. And so we kind of took a little break from our boy Paul, who the first kind of sessions of this show, we spent a lot of time focusing on what Paul was writing. And we're back in the book of Ephesians. You know, when I first started to record Burning Hearts and was doing that at the beginning of January, Ephesians was really a book that for almost an entire year, I just could not get out of. It's like every time I tried to venture away from it, the Lord was like, nope, you're not done here. You're not done here. You're not done here. And so there's so much gold and so much treasure in the book of Ephesians here, even though it's just such a short little book, 6 chapters. And so we're going to spend some time today in Ephesians chapter 4. And a little background about Ephesians that I know we've talked about on different episodes, but in chapter 4, we're going to be approaching kind of the quote-unquote walking section. And so there's an amazing spiritual writer. His name is Watchman Nee. He was a Chinese missionary, and when he was in prison, he wrote this little book. He wrote a lot of amazing writings, but he wrote this little book on the book of Ephesians called Sit, Walk, Stand. It's a great, you can get it, I think, for like $5 on Amazon. It's like a really thin little read. I've gone through it a number of times. And it's basically outlining the book of Ephesians in 3 parts, saying Paul has 3 intentions in this book. First is sitting, that even before we walk, even before we stand against the evil one, that the first thing to do in the spiritual life is to actually sit down, to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he talks about how in Ephesians, Paul says, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this idea of, I love he has this quote, he says, Christianity doesn't begin with a big do, it begins with a big done. Of what is already done for you in Christ Jesus that you're just entering into. And this flies in the face of how most of us live our lives. As we come and we say, what do I need to do? How do I need to hustle? How do I need to change my behavior? All this kind of stuff. But Paul is saying in Ephesians, he's saying the first thing you do is you come and receive who you are in Christ. You come and receive who you are in Christ. You sit down. He says, when you're seated in a chair, you're relaxed, right? You're in a receptive posture, as opposed to when you're standing up, you're not in as receptive of a posture. And most of us spend our whole spiritual life standing with kind of the weight of the world on our shoulders. And Jesus is inviting us to sit with Him in the heavenly places. And then he goes to walk, and then he goes to stand. So once we're seated, we're able to actually from that place walk out the spiritual life. And then finally, stand is standing against the wiles and the battle of the enemy. But the sitting and walking is really what we're going to focus on today, because as we get into chapter 4, the first 3 chapters of Ephesians are theology, are who is Christ? What has he done for us? What does that mean for us? How do we receive it? And then like we talked about with Peter, if you were with us last week, the second half, or like the middle half, is what now? What do we do now? And that's where we pick up in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul ends this amazing prayer that you may know the height, depth of the love of God and be filled with the fullness of God. And then he says, now walk. Now walk. Now this is how you move in the context of that spiritual reality. And so that's what we're going to dive into today, just a little precursor. But I love that context of you're coming from a place of sitting. You're coming from a place of sitting. So let's pray our psalm, and then we are going to go ahead and dive in. We're still in the Psalm of Ascents. So it's like David, like going up a mountain, if you think like ascending the mountain of the Lord. So if you'll join me as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it at Ephratah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. I mean, there's more in the psalm, but I'm going to stop there. Lord Jesus, make us your resting place. For each and every one of us, as we come into the reading of this scripture, as we receive what you desire us to receive, make our hearts your resting place, a throne for you to sit upon, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, clear out our hearts and our minds that the word of God may rest in us, that Jesus may take his rightful seat on the throne of our hearts, that we may receive this in a real and new way as we go into the reading of this scripture today. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 8 verses, and then I'm going to skip to verse 17. And so it all goes together, but we're going to read verse 1 through 8, and then we're going to skip to 17. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I'm going to skip forward. Now I affirm this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of uncleanness. You did not learn so in Christ, assuming that you have heard of him and were taught of him as the truth is in Jesus. But put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I know that's a big chunk, but I think it's important to just read it all through together, and we're going to break it down. But I think those two sections that we just read, the first, therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I beg you to walk worthy. And then he begins to explain what that looks like. And then he wraps it up in those verses from 17 through 22, where he says, how do you actually practically now do that? Because we're reading it. We're like, that sounds great. That sounds great. That sounds great. But you're like, what do I do? Because I'm still in this flesh. And he kind of closes the end with saying, put off your old nature. So he begins at the beginning, and where we're going to get to by the end of our week together is putting off our old nature and being clothed in the righteousness of God. So beginning with that first verse, what we've learned so far as we've studied the scriptures together is when Paul or anyone else says therefore, it means they're probably coming off of a really great point. And so Paul, as we mentioned earlier in the episode, Paul just prays an insanely powerful prayer. And it's a prayer that we've gone through on this show before. It's a prayer that says, I pray that you would be strengthened by the power of the Spirit in your inner man. I pray that you would know what is the height and depth of God. I pray that you would be filled with all the full knowledge of God. I pray that you would know how much you're loved. And I pray that the God who can do more than you could ever ask or imagine may come and dwell with you. An amazing prayer that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And so we leave off from that prayer. We're like, yes, I want to be rooted and grounded in love. Oh, yes, please, Lord, help me be rooted and grounded in love. So then 4 picks up. This is what the therefore is connecting. He's like, therefore, if you want to be rooted and grounded in love, therefore, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. And remember, he's not just randomly saying this. He's literally in prison, a prisoner for the Lord. I beg. Not just like, I'm asking you, or I think this would be good, or here's a suggestion I have for your community on how to live. The word beg shows us Paul's urgency. It shows us his intensity. It shows this is how necessary this is for the Christian life. I'm begging you, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Remember, sit, walk, stand. So before we're seated, we're receiving the knowledge of how much God loves us. And Paul's like, now, therefore, now that you have that knowledge, when you're rooted and grounded in love, now lead a life worthy. Walk. Actually begin to walk it out. You know, the imagery that we've talked about in that passage of rooted and grounded in love is that imagery of a tree. Right? And a tree that's rooted and grounded, it grows up strong. Growing up, producing branches, producing fruit is the proper growth pattern of a tree that is properly rooted and grounded. And so there's no trees that exist that are properly rooted and grounded in the right soil with the right nutrients that are just randomly not growing, but they're still healthy. That are randomly not becoming what they're supposed to be. There's no oak tree that remains just a small twig or just a small base. And we would say, no, for sure, this oak tree is still really healthy. It's rooted and grounded in love and what it's supposed to be. The quote unquote walking, the leading a life for a tree. It sounds funny, but the leading a life for a tree, a proper life, is growth, is branches, is fruit, is health. But if you see a tree that has like one leaf on it and its branches are withering and you're like, no, 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 like it has a really strong root system. Trust me. It's really healthy. It's actually, there's nothing wrong with the root system. It's rooted and grounded in the right soil. You'd be like, no, like you're lying to me. Like there's just a little, it doesn't logically make sense. But that's oftentimes what we do spiritually. We're like, no, 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 I'm good. My roots are in the right thing. I am rooted and grounded in God. But then our growth pattern, our growth process, I'm not saying it needs to take a certain amount of time, but some of us were walking with the Lord for a really long time and we're still hiding these places of our hearts. And so we're not really rooted and grounded in the way he's calling us to. And so then we're not leading a life worthy of the calling that we've received. And he's saying, I'm calling you to be a beloved son, a beloved daughter who has a purpose for me, who's growing in love, who's growing in patience, who's growing in the fruits of the Spirit, not on a particular timeline, but those things do happen. So just like we would never say, yeah, a tree is healthy if it doesn't grow, we also have to acknowledge, hey, are we really healthy spiritually if we're not growing or leading a particular life worthy that's bearing a certain kind of fruit? Join us again tomorrow as we pick up on this and continue in Ephesians chapter 4. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.